Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
All right, we'll stay in the NFC North here. Get a temperature check here on Green Bay. Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, where are we on these guys right now? Because I tell you what, after 2 weeks in the season, my mentions were absolutely a minefield. People tell me I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, interesting. 7 weeks in now, I don't really seem to be getting a lot of Green Bay mentions. So it's interesting how the tides have shifted and changed, my friend. But Matt Harmon, I want to get your take here. Temperature check on Green Bay and Jordan Love.
I think that Jordan Love and the Packers perfectly sum up what I think is one of the stories of the season so far this year.
Interesting. What is that?
Andy Behrens and I just had this conversation on the Yahoo podcast, so it's kind of fresh in mind. And I'll spin this in a bit of a different way than I did there. But the whole point is that I think quarterback play league-wide is way down. And if you think about it, obviously, I think with Rodgers not playing this year, even though he is on a roster, it's like officially the old guard is gone. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is gone. Tom Brady's gone. Aaron Rodgers is not playing this year.
Even guys like Matt Ryan or Philip Rivers, right, or whatever, guys that were, you know, making a lot of checks at the line and really quarterbacking it up, you know?
Yep. Rivers, Ryan, that old guard is gone. And I think we had guys from, you know, kind of that like 2018 to, you know, 2020 class really step up. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen,
yep,
Justin Herbert, who we just talked about, Joe Burrow, who is obviously one of, you know, we know who Joe Burrow is, good player. You know, Tua is established himself, I think, as a quality starting quarterback. You know, and even obviously Mahomes in 2017, the year before that, like there's been plenty of guys have kind of taken the next mantle there to be that next group of quarterbacks.
Right.
But you can put Jalen Hurts in this bucket as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those guys I just rattled off there, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, they're not having their best seasons right now, or they've had like some stretches of pretty poor games. And right, I think when those guys aren't performing at the height of their powers, the lack of the next group, there's no middle class. And it is because, right, no one has stepped up in drafts after 2020. I mean, the best player is what? Like Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence was billed to be a generational quarterback prospect. And I think Trevor Lawrence is a good top 10, probably, quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I would argue that even he has not necessarily taken the next step as like a guy, like a face of the league type of like, I take games over by myself. Right. Type of guy.
Right.
And then you just think it like, obviously Zach Wilson busted out. Justin Fields probably busted out. Trey Lance busted out, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah.
The 2022 class. Mac Jones busted out, most likely, although they just beat the Bills, right? But I still think by and large busted out. And then we know the 22 class was a disaster for quarterbacks, right? Kenny Pickett was the only guy taken in the first round, and he's not looking so great so far. And then you've got a lot of these teams running out like project players. You know, you've got your Sam Howells not working out. You've got your Desmond Ridders not working out. So it's really up to like CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson, who's not going to play the rest of this year. So he'll be a question mark. Bryce Young, I think, is a question mark at this point.
Oh boy.
There's just a real lack of like NFL middle class quarterbacks. And Jordan Love isn't like a perfect example of this because we're just now finally seeing him play in 2020. So I'm kind of more so grouping him in with that group that we just mentioned, as opposed to the guys like Herbert and you know, the other guys that were taken in 2020. But him not stepping up, I think, is akin to like a league-wide problem at this point.
It's interesting. I take a look at what he generally gets done from a visual standpoint and from a number standpoint. He leads the NFL right now in first read percentage, 77. Among starting quarterbacks, Brian Hoyer's in there too, but whatever. Jordan Love leads the NFL right now in first read percentage, right? So 77.1% of his throws are on that first read. That, to me, does not indicate progression of reads, right? And I think that is just from a statistical standpoint also translates to a visual standpoint as well. Is he coming off of his first read? Generally not, you know? Generally not. And maybe there's a separation issue. But I think what we've seen from high-quality quarterbacks is that they're going to come off that first read if it's not there, right? And I don't think Jordan I definitely don't think Jordan Love has really done that. And right now too, I think what's really interesting, he also is near the top of the league in terms of ADOT. So not only is he going to his first read a lot, he's got a 9.4 ADOT right now. It is, you know, third highest in the NFL. So a lot of his first reads are just bombs, right? So it's not a good combination of what we got. And this, again, goes back to what I was talking about in regards to this Matt LaFleur offense. So much of what we saw charted from Aaron Rodgers, Derek Klassen charted from Aaron Rodgers, was touchdown or checkdown is what he said. A beautiful line. I love that line. And you know what's funny? We got a brand new quarterback. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of it is touchdown or checkdown. A lot of it is just either we're going to throw that screen, we're going to throw short underneath little dump off passes, or we're going in big over the top. It's just, look, man, I mean, at some point now we're talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback and we're talking about a guy who's barely played, and they're doing pretty much the exact same thing. So I'm just saying some of this has to fall on LaFleur, the offense, the play calling, and all those kind of things. So I'm not really that gassed up on Green Bay. As we know, I came in pretty low on Green Bay. I think, you know, overall, I would say more low than most experts, I would say, in regards to Green Bay's offense coming in. I just want to pick your brain, Matt, in terms of what do these guys got to do to turn this thing around, man?
They got to grow up. This is such a young offense, right? Like, it's really crazy when you think about it. They're dropping Jordan Love into this offense where Christian Watson, second year receiver, Romeo Doubs, second year receiver, Luke Musgrave, rookie tight end, Jaden Reed, rookie receiver, Dontavian Wicks, rookie receiver.
Who is this
guy?
He's
played a ton for them. right. Aaron Jones is like their only veteran player that's had a ton of experience, who's an above average starter, and he's been on and off the field. And it's like, it's weird that it feels as if Matt LaFleur and this offense recognizes and understands and even communicates that like Aaron Jones is so critical to what they do as a team. And they like barely brought him back this year, made him take a pay cut. And it's like,
I know,
maybe if you're this, and I get, I'm sure there's like the coaching staff feels one way and the front office feels another way. I think that's actually probably been an issue in Green Bay before. Like I think Matt LaFleur probably wasn't always jazzed up about like the way they approached Aaron Rodgers from a front office perspective. And like, maybe would have, I don't think he has as much full pull in the personnel standpoint as we might think. That's kind of been the Packer way.
Yeah.
Like the front office is the front office. So I say all that to say, like, maybe there's not a clear communication between like, no, Brian Gutekunst, like Aaron Jones is so critical to us. But at the same time, like, maybe a guy in Aaron Jones's phase of his career probably shouldn't be this important to your offense at the same
time. That's such a good point.
Because he's an aging running back and he's dealing with nagging injuries right now that are clearly hampering him. I mean, this guy like hasn't played a full game, what, since week one, really? I mean, and yep. It's a long time ago, man. And, you know, they've had a bye week. They played on Thursday night into Monday night. That's a long way off there. And then into their, it's like, it's a really messy situation from that part of it. But he's their only veteran player. Like, they're just so young on that side of the ball. And, you know, I think by the end, like, they have to, by the end of the year, just like know what they have in Jordan Love and then understand like, hey, if he's going to be this bad the rest of the year, like we're probably picking in the top 10 and we can just start the cycle over again with another quarterback. And like, you know, it is what it is, whatever. But I will say from Jordan Love's perspective, like who is his dude on this offense right now? Because
he wants it to be Romeo Dubs, I think. And I think you've really highlighted the fact that he's just, you know, Dubs is not that guy.
Dubs is fine. Romeo Dubs is fine, but he is like an acceptable number three, maybe like passable number two in a pinch in the NFL.
Right.
And he's still a second year guy. He's still a super young player who you drafted on the third day of the NFL draft last year. And then like Christian Watson, it's just like we haven't seen anything from Christian Watson, and he's another guy who can't consistently stay on the field. But like we haven't seen anything from Christian Watson to think like this is a guy that, all right, Jordan Love knows like I'm in a pinch, I'm in a tough spot, it's third down, and I'm under pressure, like I'm just getting the ball to Christian Watson. He's not that guy. Christian Watson's production last year, like his yards per out run and like stuff like that, was inflated because he played with the Hall of Fame quarterback who was a declining player, not playing his best football, but like Rodgers still in Rodgers' head is like, I'm Aaron Rodgers, all
right?
Like,
right.
I can needle this thing to Christian Watson down the field. And for the most part, he was paid off in that. But he's not one of these guys, Christian Watson, like a any of these like second year receivers that we were all very excited about last year. He just doesn't have that type of ability as a consistent route runner. He's a big play threat, but the offense is not really in a position where they can just like, all right, we're so good from a consistency standpoint that we can shoot for big plays. Because if you look at the gap between like Jordan Love's, maybe not so much right now, but even when he was producing well in the start of the season, his like EPA per play was really high, but his success rate was really low, which shows that like the flashes of big play ability are there, which is why your mentions were getting lit up. But the consistency and the sustainability of the offense, especially in the first half of games, it's not been there. And like, you can't be all that surprised with how young this team is.
Yeah. I think the other thing about Jordan Love too, is that especially early on, so much of what he was doing, look, man, there were so many turnover worthy throws that he threw that somehow, some way, call it the Green Bay way. I don't know what it was. I mean, interceptions are turning into touchdowns. I mean, we saw that this week as well. He threw two balls that, my God, I mean, one could have been picked. One should have been picked. And really, if you listen to the broadcast team, the official on site thought it was an interception that got ruled a touchdown. But that's not the only time. I would say there's probably easily another four throws that I can think of off the top of my dome where you're just like, yo, that should have been a pick. Mm-hmm. And it ends up not being a pick and either turns into a big play where they just get away with it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. Like I actually think that the data is could be a lot worse than it is. Because of some of these big plays that have swung in his favor, in Jordan Love's play. And listen, can I just be clear? I actually think that Jordan Love's a good player. I actually think that Jordan Love has the tools. I actually think that Love can be a high level starter in this league. I've seen enough from a tools perspective to say that, but I just wonder again, when I go back to first read percentage, the guy's leading the NFL 77% first retargets, bro. That's too high. Right. But that being said, again, he's also getting acclimated. I know he's been, you know, doing some practice and all those things. It's, you know, I don't know how many years he's been in the league now, but this is really his first real, you know, season as a starter. So I think there's room for growth. I'm not actually casting off Jordan Love as a bust, not doing that. I actually think he's got the tools. But again, he needs to be coached up. I think the injuries have certainly taken a huge toll on Green Bay, but they haven't done a good job of masking some of those injuries as well. So, man, I don't know where Green Bay goes from here. Maybe they just grow as a team. And that's the way they get out of this hole. Maybe, maybe we'll see. All right,
I'm really curious if at the end of the year, I think if it looks this bad, then they will move on from Jordan Love. But
yeah,
if there's some slight improvement, I'm just really curious how they approach it, like in the offseason, because
especially in this draft, right? Because it's a deep quarterback draft, right? So yeah, it's really interesting. And by the way, how did Jordan Love even end up here, right? Green Bay's very proactive in terms of taking a quarterback, right? Yeah. I mean, they spent a first rounder on Jordan Love knowing that he was going to sit for a couple years behind Aaron Rodgers. That's pretty wild in today's NFL. So no, Green Bay, I think you're right. Green Bay is going to be very aggressive in terms of that quarterback market because that's just what they do. That's just what they do.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.